So the reason he does that, the reason he continues to search and scan your entire being is to show himself strong on your behalf, is to bring that wholeness into your life that only he can bring. And why didn't he just make me that way? Well, because he doesn't force his will on you. He needs your cooperation. Everything that God gives you, everything that God transforms you to be, is because you simply cooperated with him. You couldn't have done it by yourself, and he can't do it without you. You know what that also says? The devil can't do it without your cooperation either. We're going to learn how he does that today. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Well, what does the word say? In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Serious dude. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. More abundantly than what? More abundantly. More abundantly than anything. I trust your hearts are open to him today. You know, he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man open..." Are you an any man?
Yes.
Okay. "If you open the door, he will come into you and sup with you." Now, he's already in us. You know, it's good to know that you have him in there so that you're ready when trouble tomorrow comes. You're ready. And in fact, when trouble knocks on your door, Jesus says, "I'll get it. I am the door." Woo! That just occurred to me. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Oh, you say, "I'll be ready because I got the word of God living richly in me." Amen. Amen. He's alive and he's here with us today. Amen. And if you're open, he's open. And the skies are blue skies. Let's look at the Amplified. The Amplified says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Is that good?
Yes.
That's what that abundance means. Oh, I get it. To the full, till it overflows in abundance. This is the life that God, this is the fullest potential of life that God has, living the abundant life, living the life that is full. Has your joy ever been so full that you can have a big belly laugh, not about something off color, but simply because you have pure, unadulterated, unfiltered joy? Well, that's the way God wants us to be. Because if you are joyful, you will be strong. Because the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. It's important to have joy. Well, we're talking this month in line with what God told us last year about this year, that this would be a year of restoration. In 2018, he told us that 2019 would be a year of transition, and it was. In 2019, he told us that 2020 was going to be a year of breakthrough, and it was. And we broke through in many, many, many areas. So we're talking in this month in line with what God told us, restoration, because there's a lot of things that God wants to restore. And last month, the title of the series was Restoration, and we learned that God's restoration is a whole lot different than man's kind of restoration. God, you know, man says, "Well, if I get back what I lost, that's restoration." Well, not according to God. You know, Lori and I used to counsel a lot of couples in their marriage. And many times we heard this. We would like to get back, you know, we'd like just things to get back to where we were when we started. And God says, why would you want that? Because if that's the way you were and you're here now, why would I put you back there? So you get, unless there's something put into your life, into your relationship, unless something is lodged in there from him, you're going to end up in the same place. So restoration to God is a lot more than just getting back what you lost. It's putting you in a place where the devil can't come in and kick in. The thief can't come in and start stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen? We're closing the door to him, and you are an any man, right? Who's opened the door? Oh, rich, rich, rich. This is the God kind of restoration where he brings you much more than you lost. Joseph lost his standing in his family. But look at what he got. He was the highest man in Egypt other than Pharaoh. Ruled the whole nation. And Pharaoh just sat back and ate grapes. He had a good man running it. Why would he interfere with that? Amen. That's restoration. Restoration in God is always bringing back what you, and then much more than that on top of it. Okay, where are we here? God wants you to be in a place much better than you came out of when you were in the world. He wants you to come into that place where you have continual fellowship with him, a continual flow of his presence, of his life, of his nature. The things of his nature want to be active in your life. So if you have marriage, some of you aren't married, what talents or ability do you want him to restore and bring to the level that he sees those things operating at? Amen? We could all use that. So we ended last month's series with words that agree with God. And one thing I can tell you about agreeing with God, one way you can do that is just to meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Somebody said, how long should I meditate on the Word of God? Until the Word starts speaking to you when trouble arises or when situations arise that all of a sudden the Word is there and you have it. Be abundant. This is what Jesus taught. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we need to be abundant with the things of God. When adversity came to Jesus, what happened? When the storm started coming, something that was so massive and overwhelming, I mean, it just suddenly upon them. Suddenly, it says, a great storm arose and was flooding the boat. What was Jesus filled with? He was filled with the Word of God. He was filled with the peace of God. And when he spoke, peace be still, those weren't just words. It released a spiritual force of peace that destroyed that storm, took its power away and overwhelmed it and wrapped it up in a napkin and threw it away. That's because his heart was filled. And this is what he taught. Out of the abundance of the heart, fill your heart with peace. Fill your heart with words, with scriptures of love. Fill your heart with scriptures of healing. Fill your heart with scriptures of redemption and benefits. Forget not all his benefits, for he heals all your diseases, forgives all your iniquities. All of them, all of them, every one of them. Even that pimple on your nose. He cares about that. He does. It's because he's your dad. Oh, there's spiritual forces inside of you, and you have the same peace. The Bible teaches that you have the same peace that Jesus had when you were born again. Amen. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to develop it. You've got to have it developed inside of you. Some of you had chances to release peace this week and didn't take it. Some of you had grace opportunities. Hello. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible tells us his peace, the shalom peace of God abides in you if you simply believe in Jesus. But there may be some rocks in the soil that are interfering with that. Shallow ground. There may be some thorns and thistles that are choking it. Let's look at some of those today, okay? Here's some of the obstacles. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at, there's actually seven things here, obstacles that the devil just balls up and throws right in our face. And we're going to look at them. Mark chapter 4, we'll start in verse 14. I'm reading again from the King James. That's the way I grew up, and I kind of stick with it. You know, the King James really lends itself to memorization so much better than the other translations. And sometimes the other translations, like reading the phone book. I mean, it's so, you know, but this is flowery. It's good. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. Now, a lot of people, this is an agrarian society that Jesus is speaking to, so they understand this. But this means the word is being planted in our hearts. Now, as I'm speaking today, I'm kind of sowing things into your life here, but it's not my voice or my words that you really need to hear. These words will make it easier to hear the voice you should be listening to, and that's the voice that's inside of you. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. That's the Holy Spirit speaking up on the inside of you. That's the voice you really need to attend to. Attend to His word, and you'll find life. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. It's planted. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are the wayside believers. Every reason in the world why they shouldn't believe what they're hearing. Every reason why in the world, and Satan comes and steals it. In fact, Matthew 13 says, when anybody hears the word and understands it not, then comes that wicked one and steals that which was sown in their hearts. That's one kind of people that there is. There's four kinds of people. The next kind of people is, and these are they likewise. That word likewise is big because Satan's stealing this word from both of these people. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. This is rocks in the soil. This is shallow dirt because there may be a bedrock foundation. Stony ground. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises, why does persecution arise? Persecution and affliction arise for the word's sake. He's trying to get at that word. He doesn't want you to have it. You know, this is kind of an indictment, too, against a huge percentage of the church who doesn't value the word as much as the devil does. Who doesn't fear the word as much as the devil does. But we're not among those who turn back, right? We have better things to speak of you. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, and immediately they are what? Offended. Boy, I'll tell you, every single day you have an opportunity to get offended at something. He is right there all the time. A little persecution, a little affliction. Let's go into that definition. Well, let me finish the parable. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things, entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The fourth kind of people is us. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Everybody say, I'm good ground.
I'm good, ground.
I'm good soil.
I'm good soil.
Plant it, Lord,
and it will grow.
It'll grow up and become greater than my problems, greater than my sickness, greater than anything I need. It'll provide for me. It'll bring it on every wave. Every new harvest season, more and more blessings will come. That's us. Because we bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, I showed you this one time about one-fold is actually two times. Two-fold is actually four times. Three-fold is eight times. If you take a piece of paper and fold it once, you've got two parts of the paper, right? If you fold it a second time, you've got four parts. 30-fold is like 15 billion or 15 quadrillion or something. It's an amazing process that the Lord has reserved for you to take advantage of. When you sowed your financial gift into the offering this morning, it started multiplying immediately when you added your faith to it. Amen. Think about the possibilities and the things that you don't have to worry about simply because you have God on your side. He's your Father, and you have a Savior, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so much of the time we spend looking out at the world wishing we had this or wishing we had that's the deceitfulness of riches right there. It'll deceive you into thinking it's out there somewhere instead of right in here. You're the value that God places all the value on. This is life's fullest potential. Now, in order to really understand this scripture here and the precision and the accuracy and the power of the Word of God, you know, the Gospel of John ends by saying there were many other things that Jesus did, the likes of which, if they should be written, everyone, the whole world couldn't contain the books that should be written. Think about that. Think of the massive vastness of the earth. And the books that should be written can't even fill. It would be overflowing. The world can't hold it. So everything in this word was handpicked by the Holy Spirit just for us, for you, to bring you closer, to bring healing into you, to bring those things that you lack into you so that God can provide for you what he wants to. So when you understand that principle, understand the value of these words that they were given by God for you to help you identify those things that are ripping you off, the devices of the devil, how he does it. Just meditate on these verses. Affliction is defined in Strong's Concordance as pressure. You ever feel pressure? That's affliction. Pressure. Anguish. Oh, you ever held that upheaval, that emotional upheaval and anguish, especially after you sin and you know you know. I remember when Peter said, "I'll die for you, Lord," and then, I don't know him. And he wept bitterly. There is no defeat more than when your words come back at you and your own words start condemning you. The anguish, it's affliction. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold it against you? Yes. It means burdened. It also includes persecution, tribulation, and trouble. When life isn't easy, when everything is an effort, when everything is an uphill battle, and there's no end to it. Affliction, affliction, affliction. What's that doing? It's putting all your focus on the problem and not on the answer that's on the inside of you, the Word of God that has filled your heart in abundance. And your heart can be filled in abundance. See, when Jesus was filled when the squeeze came on and the waves were filling the boat, what came out of him? What he was abundant with, right? He was abundant with a piece of God. He had no problem, nothing. Of course, it's hard to sink, to drown somebody who walks on water anyways. When you're walking on the Word, you're walking on the water of the Word. Amen. You shouldn't be afraid. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Oh, this is coming to life. I think it just arrived. Thank you, Jesus. But it says when pressure and these things, pressure, affliction comes, it says immediately they are what? Offended. Offense is a terrible thing. And the devil uses everything he can to get offense into you and to get you to turn away, drop it, let go of it. You're letting go of the only thing that'll help you is the Word of God, is the truth that'll make you free. Offense is a spirit. It comes suddenly, it traps us, and offers no way of escape. You know, this word offense is the word scandalon. It's where we get the word scandal from. And it used to be You know what they call, you ever see those little traps where there's a little stick? And when the animal goes in and the stick is moved, it comes. That stick is called a scandalon, an offense. That's what they called it. And so what the devil does, he lures you in with a little food. And then you go after a little food, like he convinces you it'll make you feel really good just to hit back. Just to come up with a strategy to get that backstabber once and for all. And then you enter right into that and boom, you're in a trap and there's no way out. Offense. That's what offense does. It traps you into a situation that, oh, Lord, how do I get out of this? And for years it can bother you. Feelings, ruffled feathers, tension between people. It can really bother you. Don't go for the bait. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Forget about them. It's for your own good. It's for your own deliverance. It's for your own well-being so that you won't get offended and get into some trap. Unforgiveness robs you from answered prayers. Says that Mark 11:25. These things are not just words. These were handpicked by the Holy Spirit for you. When Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who have hurt you, if you don't forgive them, why would God forgive you? We're all guilty in one way or another. Scandalon, remember that. It's the word scandalon. The thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses affliction and persecution. Now, persecution, I mean, really, we're going to be persecuted. If you are standing up for Jesus, you are going to be persecuted. If you're not getting any persecution, then you're going along to get along. You're not posing any threat to the devil. But sometimes you got to take a hard line and say, nope, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe in dead, dried up old religion. I believe in the living God who lives inside of me. And he's delivered me from that. Now it says, oh, are you accusing me when you've got a board in your own eye? Say, well, here's what happened. I'll tell you my story. And yada, yada, yada. And God forgave me of that and delivered me from it. And it's no longer in play in my life. If you want the same thing, you can have it. It's good stuff. Let me ask you something. Have you ever offended someone? Have you ever offended someone? When you found out about the cause of the offense, were you shocked? I was. Not too long ago. Something I said up here drove somebody to tears and said, does he think this and that? That's why I got to be very careful, because Jesus said, it's inevitable that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Scandalon. You could be that piece of wood that just trapped him. Be careful of your words. Be careful of your actions, how you react, so forth. You don't want somebody to be offended. Now, you can't help but offend some people. They're going to be offended because they wake up saying, how can I be offended today? I mean, it's almost like that, huh? They're just waiting in the weeds. You offended me. And I'm offended. I'm so offended. You offend me. And I want you to know that you've offended me. Loose lips sink ships. Say the right thing, tight lips. Raise ships. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, just real quickly. Verse 27 says, the cares of this life, well, 27 through 31. Let's go there. Do we have it up here, John? Okay, let's forget that. Let me just say this about it. The cares of this life describes any affliction, difficulty, hardship, misfortune, trouble, or complicated circumstance that arises as a result of problems that develop in our lives. That's the cares of this life. Now, let me go back for a second here. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. We there, John? Mark 4, 19. Yeah, there you go. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, or this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, what? Entering in, choke the word. It doesn't even say they ever got planted in you. This is just entering in. Why is that story about Peter walking on the water so important? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Come. He went. Peter, a fisherman. An impulsive Peter. Just like a normal person is walking on the water. And what does it say? He saw the wind boisterous. Started to sink. The cares of entering in choked the word. And he began to sink. Immediately. Entering in. Brother Hagin used to have a really good expression. You know, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair.
Amen. That's right. Smack them.
That's right. Whoa, that's good. Get out of here. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Get out of here. Amen. It's the diversion. See, it doesn't have to get planted. It's not meant to be planted. It's meant to deflect your attention to the problem. That's all the cares of this life. You're deflecting it until you fill up on it. And then that's your, if you bite it and then you let that go and grow up and become in your life, it will grow up and become. And it'll become greater than your ability to fight it after a while. You'll need deliverance from Jesus. You'll need deliverance. Praise God. The lusts of other things. This is a particularly hot issue now. Let me just say it. We're all grown-ups here, right? Pornography is absolutely epidemic. Men and women. You got to get that stuff out of your life. You got to get it out of your life. Here we are at the end of the church age. We're ready to transition the church out of the earth. And the devil is throwing everything he can. It's bait. Don't do it. It's bait. It'll trap you. It becomes a curiosity. Then it becomes an interest. Then it becomes a habit. Then it becomes stronghold. And bondage. And bondage is slavery. You see, those things want more of whatever you get. The more you feed it, the more it wants. Lust can never be satisfied. The more you give it, the more it wants. The more attention you give it, the more it demands. And there's no bottom to it. It just keeps on going and going and going. So get rid of those things, the lusts. It could be maybe you lust after jewelry or a nice car, the best house in the block, whatever it is. All those are the things of the earth. And when the fire hits it, boom, they're gone. But he who does the will of God abides forever, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6:26 says, "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a piece of bread." A harlot can be anything. It can be whatever it is that seduces you into thinking that that thing is better than what God has for you, that that will satisfy you more than he can. That's an idol. That's what we need to get rid of, the idols in our life. 1 John 5 closes, the last verse of the scripture, the last verse in that chapter says, keep yourself from idols. It's a wonderful verse. Good reminder. The deceitfulness of riches, very simply, is thinking that the riches can make you happy. The riches alone can make you happy. And they can't. Only God can do that. Happy is he whose God is the Lord, the Bible says. Amen. All the treasures in this world can't buy a second birth. And all the riches in the earth can't match a soul for what it's worth. That's a new song I'm writing, by the way, Phil. Folks, the treasures of heaven have been deposited into your spirit, into your earthen vessel. There is a treasure in our earthen vessel. And whatever the darkness is that's coming over us, we have the ability to speak light into that darkness. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God, the knowledge of God, and the glory and face of Jesus Christ. And we, having this same treasure in earthen vessels, that's the treasure we have. We can call light to shine in the midst of darkness. What does that mean? We can call life to shine into somebody who's dead and raise the dead. We can call healing into a sick body and fully expect for that thing to be healed. That carcass, that this flesh is subject, it was made from the dust of this earth. This dust of the earth was made by the word of God. Everything was made by the word of God. Therefore, everything is subject to the word of God. When you speak the word of God to that body, it will be healed. Amen. It's the authority that is delegated to you. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. Not just empty words. You have an inheritance. It lives in you. It abides in you. You need to use it. Don't drop it. Don't let it go. Don't let persecution or affliction get you offended and get you trapped. Use the word of God to bypass the temptation of getting that person back, whatever it is. Or here's another temptation. Your body starts saying something to you like, you're sick. And then your mind says, oh, is that COVID? Who's knocking at the door there? Are you in the moment? Who is the door? Who lives inside of you? Amen. Who will answer the door for you? Amen. And say, get out! Yeah. Leave. Amen. Satan, get behind me. Amen. He's the same Jesus today. Amen. He lives inside of you. Amen. I'm loving this. Are you loving this? Yes. This is why Proverbs 4:22, was that angels? Heard a heavenly sound. Proverbs 4:22 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues, the wellsprings, the forces of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Fill it. That means keep has a two-pronged meaning. It's both offensive and defensive. Keep your heart means to feed it the right things until it becomes abundant to the full, till it overflows. Like a shepherd keeps his sheep by feeding them green pastures and still waters. Feed your spirit. If you feed on the real stuff, you'll recognize the counterfeit right away. The disguise. See, the devil he can't come at you at a frontal force and just have you accept any old sin. He's smarter than that, and so he twists it a little bit until he gets you to accept one thing that leads to another thing that leads to another thing that leads you into that box, and the scandal line goes down, and boom, you're trapped. But no trap is so cleverly disguised that God doesn't have an answer, that God doesn't have a way, that God doesn't have a key of the kingdom to break the power of that thing over your life. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing. Feed your heart and guard your heart. with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces, the issues, the wellsprings of life. Proverbs 4:22. The force of peace, the force of joy, the force of love, the force of endurance, patience, the force of kindness. You know, it's a, you know, what dwells in Lori is in her, is the, in her mouth is the, what is that? The something of kindness. The law of kindness. It's a spiritual law. It has a force to it. That kindness can solve a problem immediately. And so many times she just speaks up and says something to me and boom, that, what? What? Makes you drop your problem. Jerks the slack at you and drives you to attention. Kindness. Kindness. He said, my son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them out of your sight, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing, health, medicine to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Whatever you fill your heart with will eventually come out of here. And if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you can have it. If you can see it in the Word, you can and believe it and receive it and fill your heart with it and speak it, you can have it. North, south, east, and west. God said to Abraham, look, north, south, east, and west. Or if you see it, behold, I give it all to you. And he's talking about the land of promise. And in the New Testament, that's the promises of God. If you can see the promise, receive it, believe it, speak it, you can have it. It's the way you were made. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? Yes. Persecution and affliction comes for one reason, to get you to back off of the Word, just so he can steal it. The cares of this life, lust of other things, and deceitfulness of riches comes for one thing, to steal the Word out of your heart. He's a thief, he's a liar, he is an evil genius. He's been working at this for a long time. 6,000 years. He knows how to do it. But if you stand up and you say, no, you don't, he cannot do it. He's got to get you to let go of it. The devil can't steal anything without your cooperation. That's why we stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We live in his word and his word lives in us. And the word was made flesh in our life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we have identified these things, that you identified these things and taught us how we can